Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to imagine what it might have been like to be among a strange people with strange gods and for the one true God to come down and say, I am calling you and you are to follow me. You are to get out of this country, out from these people that you know, and go to the land that I am giving you. And then to follow that. And then to be told that when you are well and advanced in years, that you will be the father of many nations. And in fact, your name will now be changed to reflect that. And your wife's name will be reflected in that as well. Imagine being almost 100 years old and still believing in that. And struggling so to believe in it that when your wife gives you her maidservant and says, look, God's promise isn't working through me, use it through my maidservant. That in that moment of weakness, you listen to your wife rather than to your God. And then imagine God saying, look, this will truly happen. Your wife laughs, and now you are to name your son after her laughter. 100 years old, a wife being 90, and now the son of that promise is fulfilled. Imagine the rejoicing. It took all those years to have that promise fulfilled. And now his son, his only son of the promise, that same God that told you that that son would be yours, the same God that came and said you would have more descendants than there are stars of the heaven, sand on the seashore, now tells you to take your son, the only son of the promise, and to sacrifice. It would be quite a dilemma, wouldn't it? You see, children are a blessing and a heritage from the Lord. Each one is a gift from God. And now God is asking for him to return that gift. You must believe in the promise. You must believe that your descendants will be numerous. And even if God were to choose to take this son, he would still follow it. That in the resurrection, your son would come back to you. I can't imagine how hard that decision would be. Lord, I have trusted you. I have followed you. I have left my home, my family. I have followed you to a place that I did not know. And you have blessed me richly. But now it seems that you are taking it away. But Abraham trusts God completely. And so he takes his son up on the mountain, and when his son asks, Father, where is the sacrifice? He does not lie to his son, for the Lord will provide. And while Abraham does not know that the Lord will provide a substitute yet, he's still telling the truth. The Lord has provided my son. The Lord has provided the sacrifice. And so they go up to the mountain, and he ties his only son down on the altar and lifts the knife to slay his only son, that son of the promise, because he will not withhold those gifts from the Lord. We struggle with this, don't we? We struggle to understand that God's word to us is greater than any relationship that we have. We struggle in this that when God tells us don't do something, when our children are caught up in exactly what God has said not to do, we struggle to tell them the truth. We are more concerned with offending people than we are with offending God. Now make no mistake, God is not going to come to you today and tell you to sacrifice your children. God is not a God that sacrifices children. He's a God who provides a substitute. For in his time, he did provide a substitute. For the eternal Son, before he takes on flesh, calls out to Abraham and says, Abraham, I now know that you believe in me, that you trust in me, that you are not even withholding your only son from me. I have prepared a substitute. The fact is that we all deserve to die. God has given that gift to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and through that seed, death would come. But the death of that seed would bring forth life. God provided a substitute that day by providing a lamb, a ram to be sacrificed instead. No, God does not look on human sacrifices as all the pagan gods do. Rather, he offers up his own son. He is the substitute. He dies the death that we deserve for our sins, for our failures, for our offenses to him. We deserve that death. And so God would send his only begotten Son to be the once and for all sacrifice. The tabernacle not made with hands, but by his pure, spotless blood, that blood would be shed and it would cover all of our sins. It covered Abraham, it covered Isaac, it covered Jacob and that seed for believing in the Messiah who was to come. God's word stands true. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God counted Abraham's faith as righteousness to him. He so believed in the Messiah, he so believed in his promise that he would not even withhold his son. In the moments when we are weak, when we are faint, in the moments of our own failures, Jesus Christ says, I have died for you. On my cross, my blood was shed for you. The blood that pours out now covers you. You have been washed in my blood. You have been made clean. Your sins have been blotted out and made whiter than snow. Yes, Isaac's son and sons after him would bring forth the seed that had been promised to Adam and to Eve in the garden. That seed would be Jesus Christ, God who took on flesh. Yesterday, the church celebrated the Annunciation, that Saint Gabriel came down and he announced to Mary, this virgin girl, that she was going to have a son, and that that son would be the very blessing proclaimed here in our Old Testament lesson. And that by faith in that son, all nations could be saved. Jesus came for that purpose. That is why he came to earth. He came to earth to die for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob, and for all of us. And so we see in our gospel lesson that the Jews at that time, those who are given those authority position, are unwilling to believe it. They're unwilling to believe it because they deny who the true God is. They point to Abraham as their father, and yet they do not trust in the God that Abraham trusted in. Jesus points out that their father is not Abraham. It is not God. Rather, their father is the father of lies. Their father is the devil, because they would believe the lies of the devil. They would deny Jesus. They would deny that he was God, that he is God, and that he has come for them. They denied this so much, they became so cloudy, that they started confessing, aren't you a Samaritan, even though they knew that not to be true? Don't you have a demon? Jesus says, I do not have a demon. Nor do I worship the demons or the father of the demons. I worship my Father. Turn from the devil. Believe in me. I have come for this purpose. If you will believe it, I have come to die even for your sins. Believe and be saved. But they would deny it. They would deny it so vehemently. I do not seek my own glory, Jesus says. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Lord, that is a hard saying. Lord, I have lost people. I have lost those near and dear to me. I have lost my loved ones. For some of you, that might be even children, a spouse that the Lord had given to you and then taken away. Lord, how can you say, if I believe in you, I will never see death? Take this pain that I feel away. I am hurt. I am angry. God takes something even more sure, though, doesn't he? It's not this life. It's not the 70 or 80 years that he has given us here. No, it is an eternal life. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as the one who has come to die for our sins, as the way, the truth, and the life, those who believe in him and confess him will never see eternal death. Eternity is a much longer time than the 80 years that he has given us here. It is eternal. That is his promise. That is our joy. Once again, they turn it around. Now we know that you have a demon. Our father Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus says, I know him. I know my father. I know the one who has created all of these things, for I was with him. I was with him in the beginning. I was the voice that carried out his command. I was the voice with Abraham that day. I was the voice that proclaimed that there is a sacrifice for him, that there is a substitute. I do know him. And if I were to say, I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus was there the day that that substitute was given. Not in his flesh, but as the second person of the divine Trinity. He has always existed in that personhood. He was there to bring forth all of creation into being at the words of his Father. He was there to give glory to God, his Father, to Abraham. And he was there that day to tell them about what he has come to do. He says, before Abraham was, I am. He gives them the divine name. When Moses asked, who am I to say has sent me? God declares, I am that I am. I am has sent me to you. Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord, he is the eternal God. Jesus gives this clear confession. And they take up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hides himself and goes out from the temple. That was not the day that he had decided. That was not the day that he had prepared for. He was not going to die at the hands of their stones. Rather, he was going to do exactly what he had proclaimed. He would be high and lifted up for all the world to see. He would be nailed to a tree. He would receive the curse of all men who die upon a tree. He would be lifted up by the Romans at the behest of them. But that was not the day. So as we prepare during this Passiontide for that day, for the day that we will once again see the life-giving cross by which salvation comes, let us work on this fast. We know that Jesus' death on the cross is not the end of the story. Because if it is, then our hope would be in vain. Jesus Christ would find himself out of an empty tomb. Jesus Christ would find himself seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He would find himself seated upon that throne, judging the living and the dead in the days yet to come. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ is our salvation. The church sings. And when, dear Lord, before thy throne in heaven, to me the crown of joy at last is given, where sweetest hymns thy saints forever raise thee, I too shall praise thee. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.